Now, Dr. John DeMartini is the world's leading authority on human behavior and leadership. When he talks, people listen. He's also lived a fascinating life. He'll be in Ireland for the Pendulum Summit on the 11th and 12th of January in the Conference Centre. And I'm delighted to say he joins me on the line now, live from South Africa. John DeMartini, the world's leading authority in human behaviour and leadership. You're very welcome to the programme. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me.
Now, John, you might put yourself in a little bit of context for us. Born in 1954, Houston, Texas. You didn't have an easy childhood.
No, I had challenges. I was born with my arm and leg deformed and speech impediments, and was told in first grade that I'd never be able to read, write, or communicate, never amount to anything, never go very far in life. I definitely had some challenges, and that led me to almost dying at age 17 and being a dropout of school. And then one night, I met one man that turned my life completely in a different direction and inspired me to do what I'm doing today. To help me overcome my learning problems and then go on to be a scholar and educate and do whatever I can to help other people. So one turning point in a life can change a life.
And we'll come to that in a second, but you mentioned the poisoning there. It was strychnine poisoning, is that right? And did that happen when you were in Hawaii or before that?
When I was 17, I was living in Hawaii. I was living first under a bridge and then in a park and then finally in a tent, and was a street kid. And nearly died there of strychnine and cyanide poisoning.
Wow, wow. And tell me then about Paul Bragg. How did he actually change your life?
Well, in one night, in one hour, with one message, this man who spoke and inspired a group of people in a class that he presented that I happened to end up at, all I know is that he made us believe that we could do more with our lives than I ever thought was possible. And that was the night I saw a vision about overcoming my learning problems, learning how to read, trying to go back to school and become more intelligent than I was and become a teacher. And 44 years later, here I am.
And John, do you think because you had difficulties at school, you know, with reading and writing, when the fact that you saw that you were actually maybe able to overcome them, that sort of drove you on, that fact that you were disadvantaged, you saw your way out, and you said, well, listen, now that I can do this, I'm really going to do it. I'm going to be best in class here.
Well, without a doubt, that had a factor. I never thought I was going to be intelligent till that night. And the idea that I could, the idea that I might just be able to pull that off, was like more than inspirational. And his certainty was exceeding my doubt. And I got to mentor under him for 3 weeks, and that was the best thing that ever happened in my life. I learned how to take command of my perceptions and talk to myself differently. And ever since then, I've had a dream to help other people do the same. And that's what I love doing. I love helping people find out the magnificence that they have that's hidden inside and help them go out and bring it to the world I believe that everybody wants to make a difference, and I believe that there's strategies that have stood the test of time that if people incorporate them, they can do extraordinary things. And I love sharing and watching the results.
Okay, well, let's have a look at some of those now because, your basic principles of business success, there's eight of them here. We'll talk about a few of them if we may. The first one may sound obvious, but, the obvious often needs to be stated. Find a need in the marketplace.
Well, if many times young entrepreneurs make assumptions and projections onto the marketplace of what they think the market needs, and then go out there and try to build a company without a demand, and that's not that it can't be done, but it's much more challenging. But if you go out there and actually care enough about humanity to find out what the real humanity needs, and then find a way of competing in the marketplace by delivering it more effectively and efficiently in a cost-effective manner, then you now have a demand that drives your supply production. And I just know that if you care about people enough to find out what their needs are, you just grow as an entrepreneur much more quickly.
Now, coupled with that is the other powerful principle beside that. Do what you love and love what you do. So if you can combine the love of what you're doing with this need in the marketplace, you're on to a winner.
Well, that's it. I was having dinner with Bill Pollack, who owns Drake International, which is a multinational company. And we were having a French restaurant dinner one night, and he says, you know what, John, in 1951 I started my company. It's the last day I ever went to work. I've been tap dancing to work, as Warren Buffett says, ever since. And I'm that way. I've been doing 44 years of doing what I love. I'm inspired by what I do. And helping other people find that is a big part. And the key is to find out what you're absolutely can't wait to get up in the morning and do, and find out what the world can't wait to get. And you put those together, you got a winning combination. It's impossible not to succeed if you put those two together.
And is that easier said than done? Like, if we drill down into both those two principles for a second, like, you know, as I say, you're finding a need in the marketplace and you love what you do. So I love to talk on radio. So that's one part of it. So that I bounce into work every day and I talk away on radio and hopefully people like me.
Well, your ratings let you know the results.
I mean, certainly do.
If you have ratings that are going up, that means you're meeting their needs. And if you're inspired by what you do, I don't know of anybody that doesn't love being around inspired people.
Yeah.
That's something that's common. So when you're inspired, you got half the battle. The other part is actually communicating it in a way where people's values are being met. And if we can hit their needs and serve their needs, they flock. They come.
Well, thanks
and,
for...
That's my responsibility as an educator, is to meet people's needs. That's the first and foremost responsibility I have.
And thanks for reminding me about our positive radio ratings. I appreciate that. That's very important to me, Dr. John. And listen, I also want to say it's and I've often discovered this myself, John, in life, it really is all about the people, isn't it? Like, you can be the greatest academic in the world, you can have all sorts of skill sets in a whole lot of different areas, but if you can't get on with people or you can't work with people, it really is the biggest limitation that you can actually have.
Well, the fulfillment in life is about making a difference, and we don't make a difference without other people. So without a doubt, when I look back at my life and I look at the gratitudes that I've accumulated, they are the ones that emerge the most, that are most meaningful, the ones that made a difference and got the feedback from other people that says thank. You know, if we had only 24 hours to live with our life, we'd go to say thank you, I love you, to the people that have contributed to our life. So that's the essence of our existence, the priorities of priorities. So, you know, we do want to make a difference, and there's no reason why we can't. I made a comment at one talk one time. I said, if you're poor, it's because you're not caring about humanity, because if you care about humanity and directly or indirectly meet the needs of humanity, you become very wealthy, not only in economics, but in spirit.
It's a sort of a byproduct of caring and doing the right thing is that wealth will sort itself out, is it?
That's it. When we self-righteously project our values onto others and not meet their needs, we don't have a source of sales. And if we minimize ourselves and sacrifice for others, we don't have a drive. But if we find a balance and have an equity between ourselves and others, we have sustainable fair exchange and transactions that create flourishing prosperities and opportunities.
Two other points you make here, John, number 6 and 7, save a portion of your profits and build a cushion of liquidity and invest a portion of your money and make sure your money is working for you. Basically, those two things say to me that you want to just not be dependent on things. You want to be an independent person of wealth so that you can really go and do what you want to do. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, because if you're going to be a slave to money if you don't have it working for you.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather be its master than its slave. And the thing is if you actually pay the least amount of excessive taxes, if all of a sudden you're working for other people, you pay the most tax. You work for yourself, you pay less taxes. If you have investments going, you pay the least taxes. So you make your life much more affluent. And then you go to work not because you have to, but because you love to. And when you have plenty of cushions and cash, you have higher quality clients, less volatilities, more sustainable brand building. There's so much more benefits that come out of that. So it's worth doing it, not only for your own self-gratification, but for the service that you can provide.
Yeah, and it's the release of having that security that really allows you to do other stuff, isn't it?
Well, you know, I've been financially independent for a number of years now, and I'm very grateful for that because I get to do what I love and love what I do and not have to do it.
Now, you're going to be over at the Pendulum Summit in January, on the 11th and 12th of January. You're going to be there. There's going to be a lot of people in the room. Can I just maybe talk a little bit about your style of delivery, your presentation? What will you be telling people on that day?
Well, you know, I've asked millions of people around the world, how many of you want to be financially independent? And almost every hand goes up. And then I ask, how many of you are? And most of the hands go down. And there's a vast difference between the people who have fantasies about financial independence and the people that actually obtain it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show them the distinctions and the mindsets and the strategies and the value systems on going from those that are having their hands go down and the ones that keep their hands up. I'm going to show them that their values in life have everything to do with how they end up with finances. Because if you have a value on spending money on consumables and depreciables more than assets and buying assets to grow wealth, then you're going to keep spending your money and never get ahead. So I'm going to show them how to shift that and how to increase the probability of building wealth in their life and fulfillment in their business so they can go tap dancing to work and make a fortune.
And will there be people tap dancing in the audience and holding hands and jumping
well,
off
I'm not,
seats
I'm not
and all
gonna
that
do
sort
a
of stuff?
Rah. I'm not going to do a rah-rah. That's not me. But I am going to inspire them. That is me. And I am going to inspire them to dig deep inside themselves and look honestly about themselves and find out where their real power is, because you're only committed to what's highest on your value. And if you have a high value in doing something, you want to build a business around it. I'm going to show people how to do what they love and get handsomely paid to do it. That way they are inspired to go to work and they want to serve people.
Wow, that sounds, I'm inspired already. Well, I think I'll be there, John. Anything that says that I don't have to work, I can be financially independent, and you're going to tell me how to do all that, I'm absolutely going to be there. So,
first of all, thank you for the interview. Thank you for the humbleness and the sincerity you have in your communication.
Thank you.
I really do look forward to meeting you. Please, when you're there, when we see each other, please speak up so I know which one you are. And just know that I'm a firm believer that you got to give yourself permission to do something extraordinary. And I know by us doing this conversation, we're stimulating people to give themselves that permission. So that's what I'm committed to. Thank you for your role in doing that on the radio, because together we help people open their hearts to life and do what they love.
Well, Dr. John DeMartini, I really look forward to meeting you in the new year. Have a good
well,
have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll talk to you then.
I'll see you then.